That's Paul today. He's a busy guy, so I'm glad that he was here, you know? Okay, you know how sometimes my mind starts running? Yeah, well, this week I was thinking about that there's two things that I really wish that I had. One of them you already know, a God watch. I got a Fitbit, that was close I get. But I want a God watch, you know? You know, it would be a watch that would come up and say, oh yeah, God's going to answer your prayer in 28 days, 14 hours, and 32 minutes. And I'd say, oh, that's good, because I could really be prepared, right? And the second thing that I thought would really be nice to have is a God GPS. You know, so he could say, okay, when you do leave in those 28 hours, 32 minutes, 15 seconds, whatever it is, this is exactly where I want you to go, all right? Just follow this map. That way I'd know where I was going to go, and I wouldn't have to worry about being prepared. I could pack everything that I needed, right? And then I thought, come think of it, nobody's ever prepared to go anyway. So, you know, not one of those like when you're on maternity, you pack your suitcase in advance. I've never found God gives you that much time. We just kind of ignore him, right, you know? And so I always figured if God gave us Google Maps on our phones, why not? Why not, you know? Help me out in this quest. So at any rate, but then I got to thinking that's not going to work, because what did Jesus say about following him? He didn't say, follow me because I'm going to here or I'm going to go here. He said, just what? Come, follow me, you know? And he's the perfect leader, and I shouldn't mind that. I don't like not knowing. How about you? You know, it's been my experience, too, that when I'm experiencing God's call, it can be lonely, it can be frustrating, and I can think, what are you talking about? You know, because I can remember when I was called to go to seminary, I kept saying to God, you have got to be crazy. Because I said, I don't want to be a pastor. I decided a long time ago I didn't want to be a pastor in a church, you know, and God kept saying, you're going to seminary, and I said, no, I'm not. I can think of 40,000 reasons why I'm not going. I can think of another reason. I'm 40 years old, right? I don't want to go, Lord. But he kept pastoring me, and so guess what I did? I went to seminary, right? And I thought, well, I can't even graduate now that I'm going, because they didn't offer any online classes, and I was working all day, and the classes I needed to take, guess what? They weren't offered at night. Guess what was the last class I finally got to take in seminary? Bible. Yes, it might have been helpful. Up front, right? Yeah. So anyway, it was no different from Paul. Remember from last week, remember he's out persecuting all the Christian followers of Jesus called the Way, right? And then Jesus strikes him down, and all of a sudden, then he realizes that Jesus is the Messiah, and things just got better from then, right? No, because he then became the persecuted as opposed to the persecutor, right? And he's told, well, you know, I know you're a tent maker, and I know you're making lots of money and stuff like that, but now you get to follow Jesus and have nothing. How excited do you think he was? What do you think his parents and his friends said to him? You're doing what after you were raised in the temple all these years? You're trying a different religion? Not that anybody here would ever say something like that, right, you know? But this is the thing about Paul. When I read Paul over and over and over again, guess what he does? He just follows. He totally surrenders and says, take me to wherever I'm going. Because you see, when we last left him, he was in the Syrian church. He's with who? Barnabas, right? And he's preaching up a storm there, really happy, and he could have stayed there and just become a pastor with 20,000 people attending, right? Could have done that. But something got in the way of that, right? And it wasn't even Paul and Barnabas who knew what it was. They were in worship, and all of a sudden, guess what happened? The people of the church are so filled with the Holy Spirit that they say, you're going! And I'm sure Paul said, what? And I thought, that's pretty awesome that they would go, because most of the time when I ask you guys something, that's not what you say. You know? But they're so filled with the Holy Spirit. But the actual church sent them out. And I thought, I wonder, how many of us come to church thinking God's going to speak to us in the first place? We come to think about the music. We come to think about other things. But do we think, oh, I am bringing a pen and pencil because I bring a pencil because sometimes I erase what God's going to tell me. You know? We bring a pen and pencil. How many of us would do that to say, God is going to speak to us? But what about this? When else would God speak to the collected body except in worship? When else are we together? So for Paul and Barnabas, it wasn't a surprise. It was not a surprise to the followers who said, the Holy Spirit is asking us to send you forth, for you to begin to do your call, to be the prophet to. Was he really going out to the Jews? Who was Paul going out to? The Gentiles, right? He's on his way out to the Gentiles, you know? And so Paul's getting ready. He's going to take off, right? And Paul might not have gone. He could have chose not to go. I might have chose not to go. Come to think of it, anybody else ever chosen not to go? Or thought you had a call, but you weren't sure if that was true? What if this church could confirm people's call the same way that church did? You know? So Paul and Barnabas, they're going on their first missionary journey. They're going to go on three in total, right? They weren't sure where they were going. God says, the church says, just go. And I would have said, okay, where am I going? They didn't. They set out. You know, they had no idea where they were going or where they were going or what they needed to take. But you know what? I've never found that God makes this comfortable. When God is calling you, he does not make it comfortable for you. In fact, we talked about last week, what is you have to see first before you're blessed? Obedience. So God wanted to say, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be faithful to me? And there will be a blessing, but you be obedient. And so they set off following it, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, Lord, that's really right. Because I have found out something about call. God never calls you to something that you think you're capable of. Because why would you have to have God go with you if you knew that you could do the job? So when God calls you to go do something that you have no idea how to do, that's it. Start praying about it. Or particularly if he's sending you to some place, to a particular group of people or a place that you say to God, I don't want to go there. Another secret, never say that to God. Don't tell him that, right? You know? So like most of us, they said, well, let's just start out in a really easy place. Let's go to Barnabas's place. So they thought they'd go to Cyprus Island, right? And they went there to preach, and then I thought, have you ever had to preach to your friends or relatives? Or to another pastor that might be right out there in the audience today, you know? How well do you think that went for them? Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, badly. Right? Because following God's never easy. This time Paul had to go 1,500 miles. Can you imagine walking 1,500 miles over the mountains and everything else that they went through, you know? And not only that, it tells us that early on in the journey that Paul had an infirmity, something like an eye infection, or it could have been malaria or something, and he's sick as a dog, so you know he just stopped, right, and didn't go any further. He said, I'll go to the infirmary for a little while. I'll just wait. No. He said, I'm going to continue to go because God is calling me to do that. However, if you have the flu, please don't come to church. And I thought, you know what? Following God is challenging, isn't it? It can be challenging to your health. It can be challenging to your job. It can certainly be challenging to your pocketbook. That's been my experience, right? Sometimes we just want to glamorize, I'm going to follow God, right? But you know what? It's hard work. It's a lot of not knowing where I'm going. It's a lot of saying, I'm just going to trust in you, God, that your money's going to be there when I have to pay my bills, or that there's going to be food to put on the table for my kids, Lord, because you know when I went and did this, my salary's half the money. Obedience is followed by blessing, right? He had perseverance. And you know about people with perseverance that are being led by God, what happens? They change the world. So Paul and Barnabas, they go to Antioch, and he's preaching to these great crowds, and how happy do you think the Jewish leaders in the synagogue were that he's preaching to all these people who are now leaving the synagogue and going to listen to them? What do you think happened? They got mad, and what did they do? They ran him out of town, right? That would make me want to quit. So they decide they'll go to Iconium, and they go to Lystra, and they're there, and they're so happy to do it, and guess what happened there? They plotted to kill them again, right? They had to run for their lives, take off, and make sure that they can make it. But when he got to Lystra, I forgot to tell you this, Paul performed a miracle. He took a demon and removed it from a lady, and they were so happy about that that they thought they would stone him to death, right? And I thought, back to Stephen. Paul got a little example. I mean, they stoned him so bad that he's laying there, and he is dead, right? And we thought, that's the end of Paul. But it wasn't, because God's plan was it not to be done. And so guess what Barnabas and some of the other Christians did? They prayed over him, and up he came, and he was alive again. And he was so excited to be alive, you know that he just went home and quit, right? No, this is a crazy guy. He went back to the same towns that tried to kill him, that plotted against him, and why? Because he cared about those fledgling churches that he started there. He cared that they knew about the mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ. He cared that they knew his story. So according to Paul, he said, I can explain why these people did what they did. Actually, he told us in his sermon today, it's because of sin. He says, we all have this tendency. We have this tendency to not want to do what we're supposed to. In fact, I think he said that once. He said, I don't know what there is about this, but I tend to not do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, right? And he says, we have this tendency to miss the mark. We have this tendency to kind of not like rules. Anybody here, when they're driving their car, speed limit's 55, what do you do? 60, right? Because you can get away with it, right? Okay, your kids are with you. You go into this store with lots of breakables. You say, do not touch. What happens? They pick it up, right? You know? Hands in pockets? Yeah, well, that never worked for me. They didn't have pockets. Anyway. You know, and we're not supposed to covet whatever others have, you know, but you might say, you know, my spouse is kind of a drag anymore, but Ed's wife, she's pretty good looking, or, you know, won't hurt if I just have one drink. It'll be okay, you know, Lord, you know. Paul preached that we need a Savior. A Savior that can save us from ourselves, Savior that can save us from our sin. And who's that Savior? Jesus Christ, right? He proclaimed that Jesus not only came to save us, but deliver us from sin and raise us up so that we can be new creations. Raise us up so we can change our minds. And there's only one problem with that I know. How many people want to really change? How many people even like change? But that's the fundamental part of our faith, isn't it? That we truly believe we can become better people. We can't become better people if we don't want to change. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to make us better people. And I thought, I know. Every night, every one of us is praying not to change us, but to change the circumstances we're in, right? But God often doesn't want to change our circumstances. Who does God want to change? God wants to change us, right? It's always the other person I've noticed in need changing. I'll talk to you about it after church. It's hard to see it in ourselves, isn't it? Where we need to change. That's why we need a group or people in our lives that will say, this is where you're wrong. This is where you need to change. So, how open are you to letting God change you? How open was Paul to letting God change the very root of his beliefs and his faith, to change everything about his life. Have you even been listening to what God's call is in your life? Or are you like me saying, oh, I'm just hearing voices, right? Are you still waiting for that watch? You still waiting for that GPS so you know it's safe wherever you're going? It's never going to be safe. But it will be a blessing and it'll change your life. So as Doug and the worship team comes forward, I thought we might take a moment here on this laity, on this volunteer Sunday. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to feel the Holy Spirit here. God is here with us. God is speaking to you today. Become aware of that Holy Spirit. Invite God into your heart to speak to you and to lead you to respond as a disciple following Jesus. And after a time of listening to God in quiet, Doug will pray with us. And if you desired to be anointed for your call, just as the church anointed Paul and Barnabas to go forth, please come forward and be anointed as we sing, "Here I Am, Lord."
Lord Jesus, you didn't promise us that things would always be easy, but you did say that we could have your peace and joy even when things are hard. Help us to listen, pay attention, and seek to hear your continuing call for our ministry. Help us to keep attuning our lives to the voice of the Holy Spirit, calling us to respond, "Here I am, Lord." In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.